Good morning, everybody. Thank you to the Felters and the Westbrooks, man. Y'all are handling business this morning. That was good. I needed that. Man, Lizzie, you made me think about this while you were praying. I read Blackaby this morning. If you read it, you'll know what I'm talking about. But he talks about how God doesn't have us go through difficulties for no reason. And he references God having the Israelites wandering in the desert for 40 years. And he says, testing reveals what is in your heart and produces a robust faith. God allowed his people to hunger so they could experience his provision and develop a deeper level of trust in him. As the people walked with God, they came to understand that their lives depend upon his word. Man, what a great encouragement this morning as we're going through difficult times. I know we keep saying that. We keep talking about it. It shouldn't be surprising, right? God's doing a work in our body. He's doing a work in our personal lives. And when that happens, the enemy comes and he attacks, and God's aware of that, and he uses it to build up our faith. And I think that's very timely based on what God is going to speak to us today. If you got your Bible, we're going to be in Luke chapter 9. We'll cover verses 28 through 36 today. Let's pray real quick before we jump into this morning. Father, I ask that this morning as we open your word, that your spirit would speak to each of us individually, Father. That you would say the things that we need to hear. And Father, that you would prepare our hearts and our minds to receive this word from you. And God, I ask that not only would we receive it, but that you would work it into our very being, Father. That you would make the changes in us that you see necessary in all of our lives. So Father, I ask that your spirit would be upon us this morning as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, last week we covered Jesus asking the disciples the same question that the disciples and many others had been asking already. Who is this man, right? And Peter speaks up for the group and confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, the promised Messiah. But after that confession, Jesus tells them, don't tell anybody that yet. And we talked about why that might be. We talked about from their perspective how illogical that must have sounded for them to have this revelation, this confession of this is the Messiah that we have been waiting for so long, but don't tell anybody just yet. And we talked about why Jesus told them that. But this is significant for us to understand because a lot of times, we talked last week about how that logic part of our brain gets in the way and says, no, that thing that God says that doesn't seem to make sense. Let's do something different instead. We need to understand that if we are the ones in control, we are taking God out of the driver's seat, right? And God sent Jesus to guide us, to lead us to himself. And it's the difference between the real Jesus and the Jesus that we often want him to be. Because sometimes we want the easy Jesus, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But following the idea of who we want Jesus to be is going to be very easy for us because we're following something that we have made up, something we have created, something that feels good and comfortable all the time. But following the real Jesus has a cost, and that was our final point last week. If we follow Jesus, we must allow him to change us into his likeness, to become like him. And we're going to have to die to ourselves and let Jesus be the Lord of our lives. He gets to call the shots. He's the one in charge. And for that to happen, we must be changed from who we are right now into who Jesus wants it to be. And our lives will be ever-changing if we follow Jesus. It's going to be a continual process to change throughout our entire lifetime as Jesus transforms us in his likeness. I read an article yesterday morning on Psychology Today. That's not on my normal reading list, I'll be honest, but this article popped up and I read it. It was about change, and I thought, wow, okay, this is going to be cool for what God's got for us this week. It's this guy, Dr. Hal Shorey. He writes this article to help us understand what it will take for change to happen in our lives. He states that many people come to him looking to change their lives for many different reasons. And look at what he says. I've got it up on the screen, and you can read along. It says, let's face it, change is tough. And rather than wanting to really change per se, I think what most people are looking for is a way to stop hurting and to lead happy, productive lives. If they could do that without real change, I think that they would. Right? And let's contrast that to what God has spoken this morning through Blackaby. Can we just take a moment and just wrestle with that internally? To think about, do I want change or do I want just things to be easier than they are right now. In the context of what Jesus says to the disciples about taking up their cross that we talked about last week, do we want to submit to that kind of change in our lives? In this article that Shorey writes, he illustrates our bodies as being a rover on a distant planet, like the Mars rover, okay? And our being, our soul, the I that's inside of each of us, being the operator back on Earth, the one controlling the joysticks. And all that the operator experiences come through the sensors of the rover, right? They can only see what the rover sees. They can only feel what the rover feels, et cetera, et cetera. The operator's job is to monitor all the data that's coming in and determine whether that data is reliable and whether the sensors are working properly. And then, after they've made that judgment, they make adjustments so that the data is useful and that the rover can continue its mission. And so Shorey says, if you are the operator, the spiritual eye, who sits distally behind the deployed system, your body, then you can make these changes without getting mad at the system. It is simply what it is. Look at it this way. The operator at NASA is probably not going to be critical or talk trash to the rover because it gave a faulty temperature reading, right? And so that eye that you are does not need to get angry or critical of your body's miscalibrated sensory systems. You can similarly choose to slowly rewrite the ways that you think about things, just like you would rewrite a software program without getting mad at the program. You simply learn to continually make adjustments to get a smoother running system. But you don't get angry or hate the system. You nurture it and you take care of it because it's the only one that you have. In the same way that the operator can't control how the rover responds to its environment, we cannot control the fact that we were born into sin. We are where we are, but God has offered through Jesus to make the necessary adjustments and the changes required so that we can be who God intends for us to be. We can recognize our brokenness and we can allow God to do something about it. A change is needed. It's desired and it's sought by all of us. I want you to think about this. No one is ever satisfied with where their life is at the moment. It does not matter how good or how bad your life is. You always want something more, something different. We were joking the other day, last Sunday night, the cows got out, and they left a pasture that is knee-deep with ryegrass, which is really yummy to cows, to go into another piece of property behind my dad's that has been clear-cut, and it's full of mud and briars. Right? It doesn't matter how good things are. We always want something different. Spiritual or not, deep in our beings, we know that things are not as they meant to be, right? All of us sense that at some level. And so if we want to experience real change, we must allow Jesus to rewrite the software of our souls. As we begin today, we have to start with the question, do I want change? Am I looking to only stop hurting and lead a happy, productive life? Or do I want real, lasting change? That's where we begin. In the passage we're about to read, we see Jesus undergo a massive change before some of the disciples' very eyes. And in doing so, Jesus is confirming their confession, the confession that Peter made last week, and he's revealing the nature of his kingdom. And Jesus makes all things new by redeeming us, revealing himself, and renewing our relationship with the Father. And this is going to be our main focus for the day, that our lives are changed by redemption, revelation, and renewal. Look with me at our passage today. We're going to read verses 28 through 36 in Luke chapter 9. It says, about 8 days after the conversation, he took along Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and those with him were in a deep sleep, and when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who were standing with him. As the two men were departing from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, It's good for us to be here. Let us set up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he was saying. And while he was saying this, a cloud appeared and overshadowed them, and they became afraid as they entered the cloud. Then a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, the chosen one. Listen to him." And after the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They kept silent in that time and told no one what they had seen. Y'all awake? I think we can agree this is an awesome moment, right? And I mean that literally in every sense of the word awesome. Can you imagine being there with these other three disciples, James, John, and Peter, and Jesus, and seeing Jesus in his full glory? Last week we covered the disciples' confession. Their confession was the beginning of their redemptive experience. They confessed that they had what they had experienced of Jesus was that he was the Messiah. They had seen it through all that he had done, that this was obviously the Messiah. And this confession was the beginning of the change happening in their lives. And after their redemptive process started, Jesus gave them a revelation. I've got some definitions for us this morning because I want us to be on the same page about what I mean with redemption, revelation, and renewal. So let's talk about revelation. It's an act of revealing or communicating divine truth, something that is revealed by God to humans. In verse 29, it says, "As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white." Point number one today is that redemption leads to revelation, which brings about renewal. So 8 days after Peter's confession, Jesus leads him and John and James up the mountain to pray. And as they're praying, Jesus was transformed. Matthew and Mark record the same event, but they use a different word than Luke does. Look at Matthew chapter 17, verse 2. It says, "He was transfigured in front of them, and his face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as light." The word that Matthew and Mark both use to describe what they saw is pronounced metamorpho. Go ahead, and I think I got it up there. There you go. That's what it looks like in Greek. This is where we get our word metamorphosis, right? Y'all know that process that happens when a caterpillar changes into a butterfly? Did y'all do that in school when you were in elementary? Watch it form the chrysalis and all that? That's metamorphosis, okay? Metamorphosis, if you look that up, is a change in physical form, structure, or substance, especially by supernatural means. A striking alteration in appearance, character, or circumstances. So Jesus transformed from their limited understanding of what they knew at this point to his full glory as proof of his divinity. It said that he shone. And God revealed Jesus' identity, his nature, and the purpose through this moment on the mountain. Last week we read about Jesus telling the disciples the nature of his ministry. In verse 22 it says, saying, "It was necessary that the Son of Man suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, be killed and raised on the third day." We talked about last week how Jesus is trying to help the disciples understand the nature of his ministry. What they wanted was big Jesus, lots of muscles, white steed, big sword, kill the Romans, free the Israelites. That's what they wanted, right? But that's not who Jesus is. That's not why he came. That's why he said, "Don't tell anybody who I am yet," because he didn't want people to confuse who he was with who they wanted him to be. Amen? God is using this experience to begin showing these three disciples what that really meant. After Jesus was transfigured, Moses and Elijah appeared and spoke with Jesus about his death and resurrection. Look at verse 30 and 31 again. It says, "Suddenly, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which was about to accomplish, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem." So God shows them Moses and Elijah to reveal something very specific, that the law and the prophets are being fulfilled through Jesus. The things that both of these men, both Moses and Elijah, tried to teach Israel were things that Jesus was about to fulfill. I don't think we ever really think about what a massive shift is happening in this moment, in this story. God is revealing that the way we approach him and the access that we have to him is being completely revolutionized. on this side of the cross, I don't think we can really appreciate what was happening like they could. I was trying to think of a way to help us kind of wrap our brains around this. Have y'all seen any of the videos going around the internet right now of Gen Alphas encountering old technology? Have y'all seen any of those? I saw one yesterday with a phone, but this one was, I think, a little clearer. It would be like taking my 8-year-old Charlie and giving her a cassette tape, right? Raise your hand if you know what a cassette tape is. Let's just get the divide in here. Okay, cool. All right. And you would say to Charlie, hey, there's music on this. And if you want to play it, we had these boxes that were dedicated to this one piece of hardware, and you put it in there, and you press a button, and it would play music. But if you wanted to hear a song that's not on this cassette tape, you had to turn on a different part of that box and just wait for this other person who controls what you listen to somewhere out there in the world to play the song that you wanted to hear. You could call and get on the list, but you didn't know when that was going to happen. It wasn't like they gave you a time frame. And if you're paying attention long enough and that song does come on, you can press a different button and record that song on your cassette tape. But here's the thing, if you want to listen to that song twice, you can't just hit repeat. You have to stop, you have to rewind the tape, and then hit play again, right? Living on this side of Spotify and Apple Music or wherever you consume your digital music, that listening to music is a completely different experience, isn't it? Right? You got a new song that you love, you hit repeat on that bad boy, and it will play until you are sick of hearing it. It didn't work that way with cassette tape. CDs could do that, different technology. For me, as I'm thinking about all of this, in the same way that we can't fully appreciate the magnitude of the change that Jesus is making in their lifetime, is like kids today can't appreciate how much work it was to listen to a piece of music, right? And we can even go back further than that when, even before record players, what was it called, a stenograph or something, had the big horn off of it? What was that called, anybody? Phonograph, thank you, appreciate it. See, I knew somebody would know. This process of relating to God and the access that we have to him was completely changed by the work of Jesus. And God is trying to show these disciples what is happening. When God reveals Jesus' glory and sends Moses and Elijah to be there, he reveals that Jesus is the plan to redeem and renew the world. What do we mean by renew? It means to make new, to restore to freshness, vigor, or perfection, to make new spiritually, to restore to existence, to make extensive changes in. This is God's plan from the beginning, to renew, to regenerate, to revive, and to rebuild the broken relationship between God and his people. That has always been the plan. And to prove that Jesus' words in verse 22 were true, God sent Moses and Elijah to discuss them in front of these three disciples. That Jesus was going to have to suffer and die in order to fulfill the law. And then God confirms all of this with his own voice. But there's a problem in the story that we haven't talked about yet. Look back at verse 32 again. It says, Peter and those that were with him were in a deep sleep. And when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who were standing with him. Imagine for a moment falling asleep like you did last night. Everything's normal. And then you're startled awake. You ever have a kid in the middle of the night who gets right in your face and goes, Dad, Dad, Dad. And then they touch you and you, oh, I don't know about y'all, but I'm such a deep sleeper. And it scares the fire out of me every time a kid does that. Now, Bethany sleeps on the door side of the bed now, so I don't have to be disturbed. But here's the point. They go to sleep and everything's normal. Jesus is praying. And then they're startled awake and Jesus is standing there, not the Jesus that they recognize, in his full glory. And Moses and Elijah are with him. I can't help but think about how this parallels where so many people are today. We may not be physically asleep, but we are far from being awake spiritually. There's a common phrase nowadays for someone to say that someone is sleeping on something, right? Y'all have heard that term? The disciples are off with Jesus, most likely at night, and rather than being with Jesus, being present with him, they fall asleep on him. Spoiler alert, this is not the last time this is going to happen. If we're going to have a life that is changed, church, we cannot sleep on Jesus. Amen? If we're going to have a changed life, we cannot sleep on Jesus. They went up on the mountain so that they could receive this revelation from God, but they fell asleep. Jesus is going to deliver all people from slavery to sin, just like Moses delivered Israel from Egypt. When you see Moses, when you hear his name, you automatically think about him freeing Israel from slavery. That's his whole story. That's his deal. And when they see Moses, that's what comes to mind. But church, they almost missed it because they fell asleep. What an interesting topic the day after we lose an hour of sleep, right? Just realize that. If we don't put forth the effort to stay awake spiritually, we are going to sleep on Jesus and we will miss the very thing he is trying to do in our lives. If we sleep on Jesus, we will miss what he is trying to do in our lives. And when they do wake up, Peter misunderstands what's happening and he jumps into action without allowing Jesus to explain what's going on. Look at verse 33 and 34 again. It says, as the two men were departing from him, Peter said, Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let's set up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, not knowing what he was saying. And while he was saying this, a cloud appeared and overshadowed them, and they became afraid as they entered the cloud. This same kind of impulsiveness has gotten the church into the position that it is today, where people say, I don't want to hear what you have to say. Rather than allowing God to lead, we're jumping out there and making decisions based on what seems best to us. That's what we were talking about last week, about chasing the Jesus that we want him to be instead of pursuing the Jesus that he is. We think about things from the past, or we think about something that we enjoyed in this moment, something that God is doing, and from that point forward, all that we want to do is to relive that moment, to try to recreate it. And church, how often have we seen people or ministries go stagnant or fall because God is not the one leading the ministry? Church, we need a change. We want a change. But it isn't a personal change that we long for. We need a change, but we're not the ones who make it happen. That psychologist that I was reading earlier, I'm sure he's a brilliant man, and he's talking about things that we can do in our life. I'm talking about something that is much more significant than that, something that we cannot change on our own. It doesn't matter how much we want to. Point number two for today is that change happens when we are spiritually awake and listening to Jesus. Look at the next verse, because this is when the change happens for the disciples. In verse 35, it says, then a voice came from the cloud saying, this is my son, the chosen one. Listen to him. And after the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and at that time told no one what they had seen. Church, redemption happens when we accept the truth about who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Revelation happens when we see the activity and we hear the voice of God. But what does that change process look like in our lives? I've referenced this passage a couple of times over the last few messages, but we got to keep coming back to it. It's Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and the perfect will of God. Spending time in God's Word, praying, worshiping, and spending time in community with other believers is how we experience the presence of God. The change that we need and want comes as we are made in Jesus' likeness. And Scripture tells us that the only way that happens is by allowing God to transform us, to renew us. Paul teaches this idea to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 14. He said, let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for God's wrath is coming on the disobedient because of these things. Therefore, do not become their partners, for you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, testing what is pleasing to the Lord. Don't participate in fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what is done by them in secret. Everything exposed by the light is made visible. For what makes everything visible is light. Therefore it is said, get up, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And let me just tie something together. When the light of Christ is in us, we also glow in the dark. It is past time that we wake up from our slumber. Amen? No longer can we sleep on Jesus and then go on with our lives pretending that we are following him. You remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees? He said, the inside of the cup is dirty, but the outside is clean, and we are making twice the sons of hell that we are. If we are not pursuing Jesus, but saying that we are, we are not only pursuing, but we are leading people away from him. Whether you're a longtime believer, a new believer, or still haven't figured out where you land on all of us need the same thing. We need to be transformed. We need a metamorphosis in our lives. Look what Paul goes on to say in that letter to the church in Ephesus. He says, pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of time because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled by the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Church, we were once living in darkness, blind to the reality of who Jesus is for all of us. But we have seen the light. His glory has been revealed to us. Paul is telling the church in Ephesus to walk in the Lord's ways and to encourage one another to do so. This process of being transformed does not happen in a vacuum. We cannot get in an echo chamber of people saying the things that we want to hear and expect change to happen. We need to be around a group of people who can look into your life and say, Will, this part of you needs to change. We need to sit in community where we love one another to the point where we can say, I love you enough not to let this continue on in your life. Not that it's my job to call out your sin, but the Holy Spirit speaks through each of us. And we need to live in community in a way that we can speak that truth with love, as Carrie mentioned a few weeks ago. Paul also describes this transformation process in his second letter to the church in Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. It says, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. There that word is again, metamorphosis, being transformed, being changed and renewed when we behold the glory of the Lord. Church, if we want change in our lives, if we want to become more like Jesus, we have to be in his presence. I just want to point out too, because the Holy Spirit just said this to me. When it talks about when they read the book of Moses and their faces and their hearts are still veiled, it's because they don't know Jesus. But you do. And when you are living in his presence, when you are committed to community and living in a community, people that you can speak to and encourage one another, your faces are unveiled. And when you share with the people in your lives, they are going to see the glory of God. This growth that Paul is talking about happens as we spend time in God's word and obeying what he commands us to do. As we grow in our relationship with God, as we are transformed, and as Jesus changes who we are from the inside out, we and those with us will see his glory. And not only are we transformed when we see God's glory, I want you all to catch this. Not only are we transformed when we see God's glory, but God's glory is also revealed when we are transformed into his likeness. This is a catch 22. It's the chicken and the egg. Which came first? I don't know. But the point is that Scripture tells us that when we experience God's glory, we are transformed. And when we are transformed, God's glory comes out of us. So you want to know how to share the gospel? Be transformed. And people will see it. They will see God's glory in your life. Do you want to be transformed? Find the glory of God. God reveals himself through his word and his action in our lives. Our role is to be transformed as we grow, thus revealing God to the world around us. This is played out through the life of self-sacrifice that we talked about last week, just like Jesus did in his life. It's about taking up our own cross. And once we have experienced redemption, we see God's revelation, and then we experience renewal by being changed into Jesus' likeness. In today's passage, God sends Jesus and these three men up the mountain to have a new experience. Church, God wants us to have new experiences with him as well. But that only happens if we aren't sleeping on Jesus. We must be spiritually awake. If we want to be transformed and experience continual growth and change, we must abide in Christ. It's only by hearing God's voice and doing what he says that we can experience redemption, revelation, and renewal. God wants that for every person. He wants it for you. He wants it for this community. He wants it for our friends, and he wants it for our family. But it begins with us. God has brought us up to the mountain to see his glory. So, do you want to change, to be transformed, or are you just looking for life to be a little bit easier? If you're looking for easy, you're going to miss God because you're asleep. If you're looking for change, God will reveal himself. God has already shown us who he is. We know Jesus, and we know that we need change from normalcy into the likeness of God, and we are transformed as we pursue him. Let's pray for one another this morning. Let's pray that God will grant us the desire for change and reveal where we are simply looking for an easier life. Ask God to change who we are from the inside out so that we might experience redemption, revelation, and renewal. Let's pray. Father, as we take in the things that you were saying today, Lord, I ask that you would speak to each of us individually, that you would reveal the parts of our lives where we are just looking for things to be easier. Father, we ask that you would put in us the desire to change. God, that you would reveal yourself to us. God, show us your glory. Father, it is our desire to know you deeper and deeper every day. Father, to know you in ways that we have never known you before. God, we ask right now for those that are in the room who have not experienced redemption, Father, that you would call them to yourself. Father, for those that have, we ask that you would give us a new revelation of who you are. And Father, that you would renew our spirits. God, those areas of our lives where we have become stagnant, we've relied upon ourselves, Father, you would pull us out of that and you would refresh us, that you would reinvigorate our desire to know you. Father, as we gather this morning, as we close in worship, we ask that your spirit would be poured out upon us, Father, that we would feel you in a fresh and a new way, that we would experience your glory. Father, as we leave from here this morning, as we pursue you into next week, Father, we ask that you would reveal yourself and your glory to us, that we may be made into your likeness. Jesus, I beg you, in your name and for your sake and for your glory. Amen.